Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, it's time for another live performance in our Soundcheck podcast series, streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. I'm John Schaefer. The Danish singer and pianist and composer Agnes Obel has spent much of the last decade charting her own musical course. From her studio in Berlin, she's released a series of albums that blend chamber music's elegance with electronic music's textures, and her own dreamy vocals with often elusive lyrics. She's about to release a new album called Myopia, and Agnes Obel and her ensemble are here to play some of those songs for us today. This first one is called Won't You Call Me?
Thank you.
That's a live performance from Agnes Obel and her ensemble here in our studio of a song called Won't You Call Me, which will be on the new record called Myopia, which comes out on February 21st. And it brings Agnes Obel back to our studio. It's been a few years since Aventine, back in, I guess, 2011. Great to have you back here.
Thank you.
As I did last time, I'm pronouncing your first name Agnes for an English-speaking audience. It's Agnes in Danish.
Perfect.
Okay, just so we got that clear. And then with you today, Anna Bakker, who has a viola in hand, although we've heard her singing and playing at the looping station so far. And behind the percussion, both acoustic and electronic, is Louise Anna Duggan. And playing the cello, and also on vocals, Christina Korepetsky. So there's lots of singing, lots of looping of singing. It's all you on the record, isn't it? The album's called Myopia. Do you have a kind of myopic approach to making records? Is it just you for hours on end by yourself in the studio?
Unfortunately, that's the case, yeah.
Well, you know, but the title speaks to a broader issue, doesn't it? I mean, a lot of people have a myopic view of things these days, it seems.
Yeah. I wanted to start with my own myopia for this album, but I think it's a general thing that we all suffer from to a certain degree. And I do think our information technology is, you know, reinforcing this very much. So we are just caught in these thought loops again and again. And I'm certainly one of the worst, you know. I have to remove smartphones and stuff. I don't even have internet connection in my studio because I'm so afraid of getting into one of those rabbit holes.
Yeah.
But then again, I also need this ability of being caught by an idea and a feeling and just staying with it for a very long time, because that's the way I work. So it's a sort of love-hate thing I got with myopia.
Well, and the creative process is a very fine line because you want to be open to outside influences, but on the other hand, you need to sit with an idea and let it be what it needs to be.
Yeah, exactly. It is a strange balance act between humility and curiosity and also being critical of what you're doing. And then on the other hand, just following some random thing that happens while you're working or idea you get that to others might seem ridiculous, and then protecting it like it's something sacred.
Right.
So yeah.
So when that spark happens, you
can
fan it and see what happens. Now, we have a perfectly fine Steinway piano here, but you've chosen to bring in your keyboard because you've got lots of other sounds that you're producing. On the record, you have piano, you have obvious synthesizer sounds, and then there are sounds that are a little less easily defined. What are some of the more unusual instruments that we hear on Myopia?
I'm working, I don't know if it's unusual, but I've been using Celesta and I'll be using a little bit luthier piano, but I think the main thing for this album has been the processing of the sounds. Like, it's the first time I worked with pitching down my own piano and pitching down and up the strings I'm working with, and very much also my own voice. So I think that's sort of been the main instrument. It's been the sort of the processing of the sound.
Well, now, you went right past it, but you mentioned the luthier piano, which is this kind of weird hybrid instrument. Maurice Ravel wrote for this instrument, and almost nobody else did.
Yeah.
So it's like a piano that can sound like a dulcimer or a harpsichord. Yeah. Do you actually own one of these?
No. I only own the Celesta. The luthier I would love to own, but I have to find it. I'm using a sample version of it from a musical instrument museum in Germany, where I am the sole and only customer. There's a very nice guy working there who's been doing it for me.
So you're the Maurice Ravel of today.
Yeah, but I would really love to get one, actually. If anybody can help me out, I will.
So the album is made, as most of your records are, you in the studio, you're doing the pitch shifting, you're doing the looping, and then when it comes time to play live, you have three other voices. So mm-hmm. how much reinvention of these pieces do you need to do?
Quite a lot. Like, there's some songs that are entirely built around my voice. And then we sort of have to, yeah, so we have to resample my voice. So Louise, who is a classical percussionist, she can also play mallet. And then she sort of, on the mallet, we have a digital mallet. She's sort of playing my voice.
So she's got samples of your voice yeah. programmed into the
but
piece.
They are also singing themselves. And,
right.
and then we have some voice effects, that, so the voice sounds pitched down. But it's obviously a new version of it. And I actually, in a way, prefer it. It's nice. It's not just my voice mm-hmm. all the time.
Right. All right. Well, the song you're going to do for us next, I mentioned that Myopia is out on February 21st, but Island of Doom is the new single that has been released.
Yeah, and Broken Sleep as well, yeah.
So will this sound noticeably different from what we what we've been able to hear online?
Well, I have bad experience with talking about a song you're just about to play. So I'm not going to say anything.
All right. Let's hear a live performance in our studio. Agnes Obel and her ensemble here with us today. Agnes will be back on April 21st at Radio City Music Hall, opening for Dead Can Dance. And the quartet here ready to play. This song is called Island of Doom.
Thank you.
That's beautiful, from Agnes Obel and her quartet here live in the studio, in the song called Island of Doom. That is one of the singles from the new album Myopia, the full album out on February 21st. Interesting to hear it in this live version, Agnes, because the lyrics have a kind of call and response built into them, especially in the opening couple of verses. Mm. And it's very obvious when you're singing the call and Anna and Louise and Christina are singing the response, you know, yeah. So it becomes a little clearer, I think.
Yeah, that's good.
That element of the song. It's a very kind of nocturnal album. You seem to be drawn to darker sounds. I mean, we have a viola and a cello, not a violin. I mean, where does that come from, that kind of, that darker texture?
Good question. I don't really know why I end up making certain songs, but I do know I like music that has darkness and brightness within the same piece.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my experience, life has always both, even in the saddest moments, there are like, you know, small, yeah, tiny bits of humor or something bright and beautiful. And then even in the very wonderful, happy moments, there's still this tinge of, well, this is just now and
right.
Something else is waiting around the corner. So I don't know. I think that's why I like this sort of mixture.
Yeah. Well, and the idea of something that's nocturnal doesn't necessarily mean something that's gloomy. I mean, mm-hmm. your songs are full of references to night and sleep, but also the moon, you know. So there is kind of a literal light shining through a lot of this darkness. But that play of light and dark is something that, you know, we see a lot, and I hate to generalize this way, but a lot in kind of Scandinavian art and music,
mm-hmm.
To the point that it's almost a cliche for me to even say that. Sorry, but but there it is.
I'm sure there's a lot of, you could look into the cultural history of people going crazy during the winter and ending up making insanely depressive, dark, moody stuff. Or, yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to say because I'm sort of... It's always hard to talk about what you're doing yourself. And I also don't really feel like a Danish artist, to be honest. Because I've now been living away for so long. I've been living in Germany or in Berlin. But it's not like I feel like a German artist either, so I...
Well, but Berlin has its own thing. It very much
does,
has
yeah,
its
yeah.
own vibe.
Yeah.
And a very international one, too.
Yes, yeah.
So here in the States, I mean, in Germany, in throughout Europe, this record is coming out on Deutsche Grammophon,
mm-hmm.
which is the great, you know, prestigious classical music label.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the States, it's coming out on Blue Note, which is known as the great jazz label.
Yeah.
So where do you feel musically at home?
Yeah, that's a good question.
What a heavy sigh.
I actually really like that I can't be put in on a certain shelf. And I hope this constellation between Deutsche Grammophon and Blue Note, that I can continue to be in my own little weird place. And there's a wonderful freedom in being able to pick references from any other music genre you might certainly like. And I don't feel classical, I don't feel like jazz, but I listen to, I've been growing up with this music in different ways. So of course it's part of, like maybe everybody, it's part of my musical DNA, but I always want to learn something when I make an album. And I also want to learn something about if I can develop a new language for this album or for each album, you know? So not having a genre to work with is sort of makes it more interesting for me.
Right. So if you're on a long road trip, what's playing in the van?
Oh, well, that's kind of different. Yeah. So my partner Alex and I, we always listen to Leonard Cohen when we are driving. Actually,
Leonard Cohen. Okay.
Yeah, we've. But otherwise, it's a lot. It's been a lot of Motown lately.
Yeah, and
like Curtis Mayfield. But also, I'm really into sort of old psychedelic albums and old soundtracks for films I had never seen, like Ennio Morricone stuff.
Yeah. Well, that actually makes sense. There's obviously a very cinematic quality to a lot of the music that you've done over the last four or five. So Myopia is what, fourth album, fifth album?
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
Number four. Again, coming out on February 21st. Let's hear another song from the record. You want to do Broken Sleep? We're talking about a nocturnal kind of cast to these songs, and it's pretty explicit in this song called Broken Sleep. Once again, Agnes Obel and her quartet performing live here in our studio.
Thank you.
Broken Sleep, the name of the song from Agnes Obel and her ensemble here playing live in the studio. Once again, a song from the forthcoming record called Myopia, out on February 21st. And Agnes, you were mentioning just before playing that song, you know, liking the music of Ennio Morricone, old soundtracks. I mentioned a lot of your songs have a cinematic sound to them. A lot of your songs have been used to soundtrack TV episodes, for example. How much control do you ask for? I mean, do people show you the scene that your songs are going to be in before they go and use them?
Oh, this is embarrassing. Actually, the truth is, I don't really know so much.
Because, well, that's kind of the way it usually works.
Yeah, that's normal. Okay, good. That's good.
Yeah.
So actually, sometimes I don't know, and people will tell me, "Oh, I heard it." But I think with films, sometimes I get a manuscript and they ask me, but I think TV series has some kind of deal. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the first time I heard some of your music and I thought, oh, wow, I've discovered this great new Danish artist. And then I went on YouTube and there were your videos with like millions of views. And obviously, lots of people had discovered your music by that point because of, I guess, the song Riverside was used in a couple of TV shows, right? Was it Grey's Anatomy here in the States?
One of the big
shows, yeah. Yeah. So is that still happening? Do people come knocking on your door and say, we want to use this song in our film?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I discovered a lot of music and also start to look at it differently if I saw it in a TV series or in a film. Like the perfect example is Roy Orbison. So I loved his music, but then I saw him in his music being used in David Lynch's films. And that really changed my opinion of his music. It broadened it. And so, of course, I always hope this will happen with my music and people will see new aspects of it.
Well, and with the demise of radio, I'm sad to say, as the primary medium of getting new music to people, getting it heard in films and on TV and TV commercials even, you know, that's the way you get exposed nowadays.
I guess so, yeah.
Interesting. Well, so a whole new batch of songs on the way. Myopia out on February 21st. You're back on April 21st, opening for Dead Can Dance at Radio City Music Hall. Agnes, it's been a real pleasure having you and the band with us today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.